So yeah, so before I realized we weren't recording, we were discussing just briefly Outer Worlds and how much fun we've had playing it. I've already established with you, I had a big night last night, so I've only managed to have the one night really playing it. But yeah, what did you get up to last night?
I guess I'm lucky because I've pretty much alienated everyone close to me in my life, and that's freed me up to enjoy this wonderful game that's been thrown into my lap.
I'm so jealous. I'm thinking I'm going to have to do like a group text today and just get rid of a few friends so I can spend more time playing games. You know, the real important thing in life.
Exactly. And this is what I fucking live for, because when there's no good games out, life is kind of a little bit depressing. It kind of makes you start thinking about things.
Good. Fuck, I thought it was just me.
Exactly. Fuck. Maybe I should have made more of an effort to go out and hang out with my friends and be nice to people. Fuck. But then, you know, finally Obsidian has done it. They finally released a game in 2019 that has pushed those thoughts entirely away, and I know with certainty that I made the right choice.
So, hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories. Yes, I'm sticking with that rhyme. I know it's terrible. I'm saying it anyway. And also your place to be if you want gaming impressions. And oh yeah, we got some good impressions this week. A little game called Outer Worlds, which we've already been babbling about for a while now. First off, how are you, Lockie? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm going fucking well.
You look great. You've got that. I've been playing Outer Worlds glow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that nice
been
pallid.
Playing Outer Worlds, you can just see it on their face.
Yeah, that vampiric pallid, just the sunken eyes, not sleeping, not seeing the sun. It's a good look. It's a good feel. And it's very fitting because in Australia, in the Sydney region, we're getting a bit of a heat wave sort of typical summer weather at the moment.
Tell me about it.
And it's a real fuck around. So, and the area where my computer is stashed is the hottest part in our house and gets no cool aircon. So it's just like an oven that I'm playing Outer Worlds stewing in my own juices type situation. But the game's so fucking good that I don't care.
Yeah, I got some good visuals now. Hopefully I dream about that tonight. Far out. Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah. God, as I said, I went out last night. I had a fun night hanging out with my friends. It was a top night, but. Yeah, God, it would have been good to play some Outer Worlds as well too.
Oh yeah, no, fuck off your friends. At least
well, I really hope none of my friends listen to this episode.
Nah, it's important to have friends.
Yeah, stay social, people. It's important for your mental health. So yeah, well look, I'm glad I checked in. I'm glad I got to see how you're doing, Lockie. Oh yeah, by the way, my name is Zach, if I didn't mention it already. And yeah, this is News to Review, so let's jump into the gaming news. We got a lot of stories to cover this week. So remember how I was talking to you before about UK politics and everything that's happening over there?
No, not at all.
No, you don't, because that never happened. But you
Thank
know
God.
What a great segue to getting what we're talking about. The UK Children's Commissioner has urged a clampdown on loot boxes. Now, the story I've picked out for us is from The Guardian by Sally Wheel. I'll get cracking into here so you get what the hell I'm on about. The Children's Commissioner for England, so I guess this is the political equivalent of somebody please think of the children, like they made a position for that in the UK.
Apparently. Oh, was that a Helen Lovejoy reference from The Simpsons?
Yes, it was.
Oh, thank
yes.
God.
The Commissioner for England has called for tighter legislation to protect young online gamers, some of whom are spending hundreds of pounds on loot boxes to keep up with friends and advance in games. Anne Longfield, that's the name of the children's minister over in England, wants ministers to amend current law so that loot boxes in games such as FIFA are classified as gambling. She also wants a maximum daily spending limit to be introduced for children to curb excessive in-game spending. So just really quickly for people who don't know, loot boxes are a in-game essentially DLC or microtransaction that you can buy, and it's a random chance to get some kind of loot from inside the game. So for anyone who doesn't know, that's what it is. And I think you can sort of see just from that explanation what people's problem with it is. It is exactly what I said. It's random, so you don't know what you're getting. So it drives people to spend way too much money. The commissioner's report, Gaming the System, also reveals that some children fear they are addicted to gaming and do not feel in control of the amount of time they spend playing.
Yeah, and that's totally fucked up, because that's exactly what the game developers are designing the game to do.
Exactly right. And how much, like just saying that, how much is that a sentence that just rings addiction in your ears?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just sounds, they could be talking about any kind of addictive thing.
Yeah, I mean, it works on fucking adults. The equivalent, obviously, is the slot machine at the pokies. And,
exactly.
And sometimes in a lot of games these days, they just have literal slot machines in the fucking game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
like, they're not even fucking hiding it.
NBA 2K20, they just didn't fuck around. Yeah. Not to mention Grand Theft Auto's most recent update, they just legit put a casino in the game. They're like, yeah, fuck it. Yeah, casino, it's gambling. We know it fucking is. Yeah. This is Grand Theft Auto, motherfuckers. Yeah. Get in on it. No one cared because it's Rockstar and Grand Theft Auto is a good game. Oh, Jesus,
well, it's sounding good that they're clamping down. So
One 16-year-old told researchers, you don't realize how long you're actually playing for. Sometimes it's 5 or 6 hours, which is maybe I've got a gaming addiction problem because that happens very regularly.
Yeah, they're really fucking like me as a child. This is exactly me as an adult. It's still me. So it's a mental illness that you don't really get over until you have to work and you have to study and you actually build up things that you actually have to do outside of it, or else your life is ruined.
Well, you got to get money so you can buy games and continue gaming. So it's a necessary cycle.
Exactly. And like, you know, I'll tell you guys, I've been off work for a couple of months outside of contract, and I have just fucking gone full on back into video games, eating up my time. It is not, it's one of those things where, I'm hoping some people can relate here, where, you know, there's just some games that you're spending hours and hours just playing these games where you're not really thinking about it and you're sort of having a good time and you're sort of enjoying yourself, but afterwards you realize, oh fuck, I've spent an entire day doing literally nothing but having played this game. I feel like shit. I look like a fucking vampire. And life has no meaning, sort of that sort of feeling.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've figured out a little trick to deal with that. You weren't wasting your life away and just playing games. You were working.
Yeah, that's right. I was practicing for this podcast.
You were preparing for this podcast. Exactly. This no gaming we ever do now is a waste of time. It's all in the greater good of having this podcast.
Nah, but definitely not. I'm definitely not saying that games are a waste of time either. I fucking love them and they're great. And a really good game can be basically art and can make you think in a different way and feel in a different way. Earthbound or Undertale are both very good examples of that. But like all things, moderation, because it kind of is a drug.
Yeah, well, it's no difference to having a big Netflix binge or something like that. And, you know, that things like that have been tied to depression and isolation and blah, blah, blah. But look, we're talking about loot boxes. We're not talking about gaming addiction. That's another conversation altogether.
It all sort of blends in. We're talking about game gambling.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Anyway, the commissioner acknowledged that playing games online could be rewarding and could help develop strategic skills and friendships, but warned that young players were open to exploitation by games companies playing on their need to keep up with friends by encouraging them to spend on loot boxes. The commissioner wants financial harm to be brought within the scope of the government's forthcoming online harms legislation. She says the government should take immediate action to amend the definition of gaming in Section 6 of the Gambling Act 2005 to regulate loot boxes as gambling.
Awesome, yeah.
In addition, she says games that are distributed online should be subject to a legally enforceable age rating system, just as physical games are, with additional warnings displayed for games which facilitate in-game spending. What a crazy idea.
Yeah.
Warn people that there's these insidious mechanics in the games. Who would have thought of that? Just every consumer who hates this thing has been saying this for ages. But it gets to the point, these companies obviously don't want to give up any ground because they make so much money from this. It gets to the point where fucking politicians have to step in and write legislation to pull them fucking in line.
It shouldn't have to happen.
They should do it themselves.
It's
frustrating. You bring it on yourselves, game companies. Right? You only have yourselves to blame for this fucking regulation.
You're right. But I guess I'm much more of a cynical asshole in it, and I'm very much a part of the wheel and probably a part of the problem. But I mean, that's capitalism in a nutshell. Businesses don't function with underpinning ethics. Ethics has to be financially justified in business in order for it to be implemented by the business. So negative PR or positive PR, that sort of thing, that's where you're able to make sort of a cogent argument. But if you don't have that argument and you're just doing good for good's sake, you're not going to be taken very seriously as an individual based on observation.
I think that's a broader problem with, I think, corporations as a whole. You know, they want to be treated as people when it comes to political opinions and things like that, but then they also want to also say that they're not people by staying politically abstinent to everything as well.
Exactly.
It's a whole other conversation altogether.
It is.
But I think this is a awesome step in the right direction. Like, labeling these as gambling is great because it absolutely is. And look, people use the whole argument of like the Kinder Egg. It's no different to going and buying a Kinder Egg. You don't know what you're going to be getting in the prize when you get it. But it makes no sense to apply that here because you don't have a credit card hooked up to a digital fucking Kinder Egg that can be spent unlimited amount of times if you like. You know what I mean? And you have to go out and buy that fucking Kinder Egg, and you've got to beg your parents there for it. You can't just sit there just pressing a button and getting it over and over again.
And
it's obvious that they're using the same kind of techniques that are used in gambling to manipulate children and stuff to keep spending money in their games, like, and they're the more susceptible to these kinds of things.
Exactly. And I think you hit the nail on the head because it's being it's being directly targeted at children and exploiting children, which they don't even have mental capacity and they're not of age to really be able to think about the consequences of their own actions, because you're talking about kids that can be as young as fucking six using their parents' credit cards. I mean, you'd hope that their parents are monitoring their spend and not having, you know, unlimited money, handing them a credit card. That's kind of fucking dumb on the parents' part. But it does happen, obviously. We've seen so many cases of it happen. And I remember a couple of years back in Britain, there was one case where I think over $20,000 had been indebted by a kid, a video game company, for, you know, this sort of spend. And the parents had to take them to court to try and, you know, claw back the money in some way. Just going back to the other area, that's the problem with businesses, where people want to see them as ethical. You know, they want to see them as something that they can agree with and something tangible that they can sort of relate to. But the truth is, businesses aren't that. Businesses exist solely to make money, and they offer a thing in the world that they're particularly good at, and they make the money as a result. And anything else, it has to have a financial justification or some sort of backlash justification. Otherwise, businesses will always rely on the regulation of their own governments to hold them in line and keep them in check. Mm. And that's why I think it's great that British government is taking a stand on this. Australia is a bit behind on the eight ball.
Yeah, no, we need to take some notes from what's going on over there, 100%. Our courts decided it wasn't gambling.
Yeah, which is absolutely fucked because it's blatant gambling. And it's been directed to kids.
Because these days Australia seems to be like a pay-to-win situation where if you've got the money and the influence, you can basically do what you want at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's partially just because our government doesn't even fucking know how the internet works. It's very behind technologically. We don't have a technologically savvy government, which is crazy in a world that we exist in now. We're very much in the fucking digital age. Everything relies on technology. And for us to have a government that doesn't really understand how piracy works, because they tried to clamp down on it a couple of years and it just completely failed, it's just an example of it'll be another fucking 20 years before our government sort of gets up to speed, because all the youngins will come into power.
Well, I think the main point of this story is, you know, vindication.
Mm-hmm.
We knew they needed the regulations and they brought it in there. Now, the next story, there's further vindication, because pretty much everyone agrees with me that Ghost Recon Blandpoint sucks. So, bloody Ubisoft have put out a earnings report to their stockholders, and this is about the only time when you ever see game companies being honest, because they're legally not allowed to lie to their stockholders. And anyway, so yeah, according to their Ubisoft updates, financial targets and release schedule for 2019 to 2020, you know, very catchy name they've put on it here. The company has revised downwards its targets for fiscal 2019 to 2020 and now expects net bookings of approximately £1.45 million and non-IFRS operating income. Oh, look, I'm not even going to say all this shit. All it's saying is they're expecting a lot less money coming in the next quarter. Mm. These adjustments reflect a sharp downward revision in the revenues expected from Ghost Recon Blandpoint. They wrote Breakpoint, but I'm changing the name here because
I think that's fair. I think you've sunk enough hours into this game to have a right to be critical.
I still haven't finished it, by the way.
Don't finish it.
Man, no, I'm going to. I'm going to finish it, and I'm probably going to immediately hang myself after.
Yeah, that's the problem. This is just self-harm at this point, man. You're just hurting yourself, and I hate seeing it happen.
I just hate myself. You know, I guess that's why I play it. I do is I play Ghost Recon Blandpoint, and I cry myself to sleep.
Exactly. It's the gaming equivalent of watching a friend cut their wrists.
Yeah.
Get help. Stop playing Breakpoint. Fucking play Outer Worlds and let yourself heal.
Oh, that's 100% what I have been doing. It's going to take me so long to finish Ghost Recon. I'm like, what, 3-4 weeks in at this point. I still haven't finished. I'm about 30 hours in. I will do it. I will get there and finish it.
You and your fucking principles.
I can slap on that terrible rating I'm going to give it and just really feel comfortable that I gave it that.
Okay.
But yeah, so anyway, yeah, basically they said, yeah, sharp downward revision in the revenues expected from Ghost Recon Blandpoint and to a lesser extent Division 2. Ghost Recon got 56% on Metacritic and a 2.6 user score.
Oh, now, a 2.6 user score.
The reason why I decided to chuck in the Metacritic and user score at the end there was because this game was a flop commercially and critically. So that's where all this sweet vindication comes from. It is a garbage game. The numbers don't lie. The critics are right about this one.
Was that a 5.6 critic score, you're saying?
56% on Metacritic, that's basically garbage with the way scores work these days. Not many things get like a 4 or a 5.
It's shit, but it's still way higher than the user score.
That's always the way. The critics are always nicer. The users, funnily enough, don't have any reason to give it a good score, you know what I mean?
I think
people who review the games want to keep getting access from Ubisoft, and so they're going to be probably a little bit nicer than what most people would.
So, at us, we're independent. We don't care what Ubisoft thinks for now.
until they start paying us. If Ubisoft, send us some money and we'll praise all your games. Come on.
Absolutely.
I'll play them anyway. Make me rich. Come on. Far out.
Ubisoft. Use all of those diminishing profit margins to invest in more third party reviewers. Why bother investing in game development when you can just bribe all your fucking reviewer bases?
Yeah, come on, Ubisoft, give me some money. I'm in the hole with all these microphones I've had to buy. Fucking hell. So
your dog's haircut.
Yeah, the rest of the report goes on to say that their earnings are less as well because they've had to delay a bunch of games. But yeah, I do not shed a tear for Ubisoft. They put out a garbage game, and to be honest, I think they probably knew it was garbage as well too. They just wouldn't be able to delay it because they had so many other things delayed. It would have just hurt them too much when it comes to things fiscally. But
yeah. Do you reckon it's like another Seamen of Thieves type scenario where the game just wasn't remotely ready and it just had to be released anyway?
I don't think so. I think there's a lot of the problems with the game, the ideas and stuff that they've put into it. Like like the hub world and things like that. I don't see a way, unless you change a lot of the systems in the game, that you could actually make it good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's too much stuff that's just garbage. They could add in maybe some AI companions that can run around with you. That would be cool. Because, if you were playing solo...
Let them do it. Play the fucking game.
You're on your own. Like, look, I tried playing multiplayer. I tried it once, You can't make it so that people can just join your game. You can't set it so that your party's on public. You have to go into matchmaking and join someone else's, which I don't understand why. I'd much rather it be like Borderlands where I can just play and people can jump in. That way I can continue my story. So I try to jump into someone else's and just see if I could keep playing the story with them. But they matched me with someone who was like double my level and just doing some random side quest that was hours and hours past where the fuck I was. And yeah, it's like, why would I ever play multiplayer? And not to mention, they're constantly badgering you to play multiplayer as well too. There's always this little icon up the top right-hand corner. It pops up all the time saying join or invite players.
Oh, that's annoying.
But they don't make it fun to play with other people because it's just like, look, if I had friends to play with who had this game, I would never put this on any of my friends.
Yeah, I'm not fucking playing this game.
I love my friends. I'd never get them to play this. I wouldn't make it. I don't think they'd be friends with me anymore.
Exactly. I care about myself too much to put myself through that kind of hell.
Exactly right. So I just haven't been able to play it multiplayer really, and that's meant to be the best way to play it. Oh, what a rubbish game. And look, speaking of rubbish games, let's see how many times I can say rubbish. Fans of WWE 2K20 are a little bit upset right now. Look, I don't know. Have you followed any of the coverage?
Yes, actually, yes. I have stumbled across this as well. So it sounds like we're this is the first time we're talking about this topic. But yes, I have looked into it and I was a bit curious.
There's some good GIFs. There's some good game capture out there, man. I'll get cracking with the story to let you guys know what I'm talking about. WWE 2K20 fans say it's a huge mess. This is an article out of Polygon by Patricia Hernandez. Over the last 24 hours, social media has been overrun with unflattering videos, screenshots, and GIFs of the latest WWE game, WWE 2K20. As the players tell it, the wrestling title is a barely functional mess full of baffling glitches, graphical hiccups, performance issues, performance issues. I had a performance issue just then, and missing features. On Reddit, players are writing up lists of issues that reportedly include ample lag, crashes, inexplicable animations, and general shenanigans, as well as absent long-time features such as allowing players to edit match rules during online play.
Okay, I just want to jump in there with the graphics side of things. I saw some gameplay and it looked like fucking Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which is like almost 20 years old at this point.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't believe how bad it was. I saw a clip that someone had taken and it was a cutscene from the game. And it was the two protagonists sitting in a car driving along. And the windows were up in the car. You could clearly see that. But their hair was still blowing. But the hair, you should have seen how it was blowing it. Yeah. Look, the dude who has dreads or whatever kind of hair he has looked like he had like some spider demon behind him because his hair was flickering around just insanely. And then the other stuff I saw was more like in-game stuff where, like, you know, someone's like jumped out of the ring and they've got stuck in the ropes and just gone flipping out of control.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some funny glitches out there. It really is.
And how good is that? I mean, like, as much as the game is an absolute fucking train wreck, they're starting to be like a growing entertainment field of just watching disastrous games be released and watching how they're a complete fucking buggy mess.
It's the same reason that people love The Room, man. You go to see that garbage fire.
Yeah, exactly.
You're there to see it all burn down.
Exactly. It's an absolute mess, and it seems like the developers don't realize it's a mess. They think that it's a passable game, and it's because they think it's passable, but it's fucking terrible in reality that it just works.
Oh, 100%. It's fantastic. Anyone out there, just, you know, go on a Twitter and search for the mentions of WWE 2K20, and you'll have a fantastic time.
Fucking treat
yourself.
I had
a great time just in the few tweets I looked at. The sports game has subsequently garnered a mostly negative review on Steam. Big surprise there.
Oh, really?
Where the top review says the game is held together with duct tape and spit. The official website fails to load at all as of this writing. A report by Kotaku, meanwhile, states that a reporter who tried the game out found it nearly unplayable, but that some of the issues, such as the quality of wrestler renders, have been overstated. And look, I don't know. I haven't played it myself, so I don't know. But God, I saw a picture of The Rock, who's someone they've been putting into video games now for like 20 fucking years. Yeah. And my God, it was bad. He looked like he was made out of plastic or something.
Okay, I haven't seen the Rock one yet, but I'm gonna take a gamble. I'm gonna take a kid's gamble and guess that the Rock will look like how he did in the Scorpion King, which is lauded as the worst CGI graphics integrated into a movie of all time. I will guarantee you, he looks like that.
You're thinking of the Mummy Returns.
Oh yeah, Mummy.
He was in the Scorpion King after that, which was a garbage film.
And he was the Scorpion King in The Mummy Returns.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Oh,
that was a fucking mess as well. But I like that movie, and I know it's a mess. I know it's a shit movie, but I still like it. Yeah. Fuck
oh,
you.
Oh, don't 100%. That's some good nostalgia that is right there. So WWE 2K20 is currently sitting at 41% on Metacritic with a 1.6 user score. So
why are the critics so nice? That's what I'm starting to notice.
Because it's a game by 2K20, and you know, you don't want to not have review titles sent to you. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's why you come to people like us.
Exactly.
Who don't get paid by anyone.
Exactly.
So we can truly say what we feel about these garbage fires of games.
Exactly. I keep forgetting that most critics actually run like a business, whereas we're just fucking two idiots talking shit about games.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
We're not
making
any money off of this, so yeah, we can bag on whatever the fuck that we want to.
Yeah, I prefer it this way because I would not want to be sucking 2K's dick on this one because it's just an absolute dumpster fire.
100%. Yeah. Oh, how many times can I say 100% today? Okay, so we were talking before about a little game called Outer Worlds. Now, funnily enough, Bethesda is in the news this week, which can't be very good for them considering Outer Worlds has come out. I've got to say the egg is truly on Bethesda's face right now.
Okay.
But yeah, Fallout 76 now has a monthly subscription. Yeah, this article's comes out of Den of Geek by Matthew Bird. Bethesda is now offering a monthly or yearly subscription plan for Fallout 76 for either $12.99 a month or $99.99 a year.
Alright.
You could access a premium, I could hardly keep a straight face while I say this. You could access a premium Fallout 76 subscription plan known as Fallout First. What do you get for that tidy sum? Well, the big hook of this subscription plan seems to be the ability to create private in-game servers. You and up to 7 friends will be able to access this private world, and only the server's host will be required to have a Fallout First subscription. So, yeah, basically...
Have you played this game before? Because
played this game, but right. Fallout 76 was like famous last year. It was the biggest flop of the year. Well, I shouldn't say it's the biggest flop of the year because it actually sold really well.
Yeah.
But critically, my God, did it get trash. Like, we got 52% on Metacritic with a 2.8 user score, right? It was the No Man's Sky of that year. It was a game, an empty game with nothing to do where you made your own stories. I'm using inverted commas here. And yeah, there was just nothing to do in the game and it was a typical Bethesda buggy mess. They got a game that, you know, they took all the Bethesda out of, if that makes sense. Like all the stuff you love about Bethesda, there's cool stories and side quests and the hundreds of hours of interesting things to do. They ripped all that out and made that a game and thought people would want it.
So it's just another Bethesda MMORPG.
Yep.
Right.
And now they're charging a subscription to do like what they should offer for free anyway. They're going to charge people to be able to have their own, to host a private server so they can just play with their friends. Well, that's insane. It's like having it's like if you were playing Smash Brothers and they said, yeah, you got to pay a monthly subscription if you want to do more than 2 players at a time. You need to pay a monthly subscription if you want to play co-op with 4 people.
Yeah, I see. That's pretty fucked up.
It's fucking nuts. And now that Outer Worlds has come out this week and it's getting reviewed so well and I'm loving it and you sound like you're loving it.
Everyone's taking a shit on Bethesda at the moment. It's very bad timing for them to release this news.
Oh, super bad. I don't know if you know all the stories around when it was released and that. It was just one thing after another. There was like one player who got banned because he had got it acquired too much stuff in the game, and they thought he must be cheating.
Oh my god!
Yeah, crazy. In the special edition,
yeah,
you got a helmet with it, which came with a bag. And in the photos showing what you were getting, it was this nice canvas bag. But then when people actually received their special editions, they got this like shitty nylon fucking piece of shit that was basically like a sleeping bag. You know what I mean? Like the bags you put a sleeping bag into.
So people were pissed off,
and they end up sending out the actual canvas bags and doing what they were supposed to do, but. My God, it was just everything around it was just a complete and utter mess. Yeah, they addressed it themselves. They at E3 this year, the first thing, one of the first things that their CEO said, I'm forgetting his name at the moment. He goes, "It's good to see you're all here. Considering how things have been, I'm surprised you are." And so, like, they know how bad they've been fucking up. They addressed it head on. But yeah, hopefully they can turn shit around when it comes to stuff like Elder Scrolls 6 and
But like, fuck, for you know, that's what you want to fucking hear at a showcase of your company. The first words out of the CEO's mouth is an apology. Great, yeah. So they're obviously doing dog shit at the moment.
It was due though. They needed to address it, because if they didn't, it would have just been the massive fucking elephant in the room.
Yeah.
But yeah, so oh god, I gotta say the games they've been publishing recently as well too. I was loving them back when, you know, they released Doom. What else did they release on there? Dishonored. Don't mind Dishonored. They were doing really well back then with their own titles, but as far as recently, what Rage 2 came out this year, that was a disappointment. I love the gameplay, but as a whole, that game was definitely a disappointment. Dishonored 2, I wasn't a massive fan of. A lot of people liked it, but it did very poorly in sales as well. I liked Wolfenstein 2, but that did poorly in sales as well.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, I've seen all of these games advertised, and I have not played any of them. Felt like buying a single one. None of them have grabbed at me.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame too, because they are good games, but I'm not the biggest fan of Dishonored, but Wolfenstein, I would definitely recommend the recent Wolfenstein games. They've got really cool stories in there. They're balls to the wall crazy. They're nuts, the stories, but they're fun to sort of sit back and just have a fun time with. It's a cool game. I just recommend, if you play the most recent one, the New Colossus, don't play it on normal. Like, it is fucking difficult, that game. Too difficult. They fucked up. They fucked up when it came to player testing or whatever it was. It was way, way, way too difficult. But yeah, great, great, great game. But anyway, yeah, Bethesda, pull your fucking head in. Come on, mate. Let's get some good games.
Yeah, come on, fucking give us Elder Scrolls.
Hurry up with
Elder Scrolls 6, for fuck's sake. Stop doing all the fucking MMO shit. Obviously it's profitable and markets are telling them that the world does want that, but I don't want that. I feel like I'm being punished. And I loved Bethesda and I bought all of their shit for a very long time. And then for the last fucking 5 years since Skyrim, nothing. Fuck.
You're taking this very personally.
Like, I am, because they're so good.
You. Yeah, like, I'm sure that the workers at Bethesda go home and go, man, this is going to piss Lockie off today.
I feel like a lot of people that work for Bethesda now must be really fucking depressed, because because they would have all been kids that grew up on these great fucking games, and they wanted to they got their tech skills up to snuff and they've joined this company, and now all they do is fucking MMO bullshit. Fucking monthly subscription bullshit.
It sucks.
It would be fucking soul-killing.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree with you more. Oh, look, let's get off the soul-killing stuff and get on to some more happy stuff. I'll just quickly go through the games that were released this week. We have the remake of Medieval. Came out on PS4. I haven't had a play of that. I'm not sure if I will. I wasn't a big fan of Medieval in the day. I'm probably going to be too busy playing Outer Worlds, which is the next thing that came out. And then Call of Duty Modern Warfare also came out on the same day. That's sitting at 86% on Metacritic right now, so people seem to be enjoying it. I haven't had the chance to play that. Have you played that at all?
Nah, so that's it's funny. I play PC most of the time, but that is legit a good console game. Those sort of games you really need to have a controller to play with and play on the multiplayer to get good value out of. I did Advanced Warfare on the PC, and it was all right, but I don't know, just mouse and keyboard just doesn't It doesn't.
Advanced Warfare, is that the one with Kevin Spacey in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one. Yeah. Press F to pay respects.
Yeah. This is. Oh, this was before he got done in for being a total pedo.
I know that game just has so much shit tied to it now. Yeah. Like, with Kevin Spacey and the whole press F to pay respects. To this day, like, you'll have people like PewDiePie saying F's in the chat, bro. Is like it's like a common expression now.
Yeah.
It's funny the legacy that game's left. So yeah, we also had WWE 2K20. Came out, Plants vs. Zombies Battle for the Neighborhood, and yeah, that's about the only stuff that is really of note that came out this week. So look, I'd love to just jump straight into the games, but let's have a quick break, and then after that we'll jump into it. How's that sound to you?
Yeah, sounds good.
Anyway, what we're here to do is talk about some gaming impressions, and I only have one thing to talk about and only one thing I want to talk about, and that's the Outer Worlds.
Oh, yes.
Oh, damn, I love me some Outer Worlds. I'm playing it on the PS4 Pro, I believe. You're playing on PC?
Yeah, I'm playing on PC.
So how do you feel about Outer Worlds?
I fucking love it. So straight off the bat, I'm a big fan of RPG games in general, and massive fan of Fallout 3 and New Vegas when they came out yonkers ago. I'm thinking it's like fucking a decade ago.
Oh, a long time ago. Yeah. I can't remember. I think it was like, 06 or 07. It was a fucking long time ago, man.
Yeah, it's been ages. It's been ages since we've seen a game like this, and Obsidian has done it right. It's a fucking solid send up to those types of games. I would say straight up, 2019 has been pretty low in terms of really good quality sort of AAA titles being released, especially in the RPG setting. And I'd say this is...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Nothing to scratch the RPG itch this year. What do you call it? Kingdom Hearts 3, which...
Kingdom Hearts... Not a fan. We can talk about... Well, save that for another time, because I also...
Fallout 3 was 2008, so it's 11 years ago.
Yeah, fuck. Damn. So I think this is a contender for a Game of the Year title.
Yeah.
At least in the RPG setting. This is the best RPG game that I played since Divinity Original Sin 2, which was 2 years old from the PC.
Yeah, and that was one of those games I remember everyone raving about it. I saw it, and it's one of those top-down kind of RPGs. I'm like, yeah, that's really more of a PC thing. It's not really my cup of tea. But I feel like I was missing out with Divinity Original Sin 2. It looked really cool, and it sounds like all the side stories are very detailed, and that's all my favorite RPGs have the best side quests. That's what I'm in the game for, is the really cool side quests. Like The Witcher 3, my favorite RPG of all time. The side quests in that are brilliant. They're better than the main story, in my personal opinion. Like, I do like the main story, but even better.
Well, that's the problem, though, is that if we start comparing it to games like The Witcher 3, that's where I'm going to go, okay, it's not as good as fucking Witcher 3. You're not going to get... Because The Witcher 3 sort of hits the mark in every single category a game can do.
Yeah.
Its music soundtrack is incredible. I'll fucking listen to that soundtrack, you know, just doing whatever at home.
Yeah,
it's that good.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything to it, story, engagement, action, it's got it all. This game is just a really fucking good, solid game. You know, it's not a fucking 10 out of 10, and I don't give 10 out of 10s. I wouldn't give 10 out of 10s to a lot of games, and that's the whole point of a 10 out of 10.
Mm.
But it's a good fucking game, and it's definitely the best that 2019 has had to offer for me so far.
Yeah, I haven't played a lot. I've probably put in about 6 to 8 hours or something like that, I'd say.
You haven't played a lot. It's only been out for a day, man.
Yeah. that's what I mean. Like, that's not a lot, because I want to be playing so much more. It's such a good game. Like, man, when I'm not playing it, I'm thinking about it. It's one of those games that it sort of sticks in your mind a little bit. I'm absolutely loving it. I should mention this game. I know we did mention earlier, but this game is by Obsidian. And this was sort of, as far as I know, one of their first sort of forays into doing their own IP. And I think they've just absolutely knocked it out of the park. Outer Worlds feels to me like what Fallout 4 should have been. You know, it's not as smooth as playing something like Borderlands 3 or Rage 2. The gunplay is not like that. It is a bit jankier, but
you said janky, because that's the exact same thoughts. That's the same words that I would have described it as well.
Exactly. But in saying that, though, they're still far better than what Fallout 4 was. Fallout 4, they still hadn't fixed up the shooting enough to a level it should have been at.
Mm.
And I felt like, yeah, Outer Worlds sort of hit that mark for an RPG. I think they did an okay job with it. I like the this isn't a spoiler here because it's very early on. The time dilation effect, I think that was a good sort of VATS-ish kind of system to put into the game. And I've been having fun VATS. Messing around with that.
It's way more fun and engaging than VATS, because VATS was really much like, you press the button and everything just automatically, you know, wins the game for you. Yeah, whereas with this, you're still in the motion.
Yeah, and the side quests. Oh, I'm loving these side quests. Every single place I've gone to, I've just been talking to every person because I've just found all these side quests. I reckon I've done maybe 10 side quests or something like that. I've only done like 2 or 3 main story missions. It's just so much to sink your teeth into there.
So how far are you in, if you don't mind
me asking? I'm going to keep this very spoiler-free because the game did only just come out.
No, just names. Outer Worlds
only did just come out. And I'm talking side quests and that. I want to keep as spoiler-free as possible because games like these, you're playing it for the side quests and all the unexpected things that happen. But, it's no spoiler to say this, that there's multiple worlds in this game. It's a game set in space and you do get to go to different planets. That was in all the trailers and whatnot, so that there's no spoilers there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've made it to the next area.
Okay. All right. So you made it off planet, which is... Okay. So, yeah. And I was just curious to get an idea of where you're at, and it's probably good for people listening to us to sort of know as well, is that there's no fucking way... The game was released a day ago. There's no way we could get through this entire game.
Oh, no way,
And do it justice. I'm going to be playing this game for a week, so I know it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm sinking my teeth in hard. I've been reading every single piece of, lore that I've found, all the computers. I've been reading every single message log, all that stuff. I've just been lapping it up, and they've done a great job with the world that they've built.
Mm.
I love the whole the whole corporate aspect to it. Oh, that really...
good.
I think
if
you've listened to any episodes of this, it's pretty clear. I've got a pretty negative view on corporations and their actions and the way they do things. And this game has a lot to say about that, which is really good. A game that has something to say. Fucking finally.
Yeah.
A developer has decided to put out something and not just be completely apolitical and ignore the fact that we are living in a world where people have opinions and they actually fucking say some shit. It's great. And they do it in a way that's not too in your face. It's in the world that they've built and the way these characters live, and you get to experience that, and I love it.
And it's funny. It's that's one of the key things that I love about it as well in its world building, is that they've really grabbed onto the whole turning capitalism and corporate ideology into basically a religion to get people, you know, to get people to accept their lot in life, and that they're all their gears in the machine. And it's so satisfying. And it's funny by contrast, because another game sort of tried making religion a fun theme as well. It's called Borderlands 3, and it was absolute garbage. So you have the difference between intelligent story writing versus just nothing.
And Borderlands 3 is a perfect example of a game that has fucking nothing to say.
Yeah.
It just has a story that exists and you can play through it. Look, it's a fun game. It's got fun gameplay. But you don't finish that story and think, how interesting are those characters? I'm already thinking about all the different characters.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I love how the companions that you have with you will interact with NPCs in the world and have their own motivations for what they're doing.
Actually, I do want to, and I want to talk to you a little bit about some, we might have a bit of a spoiler discussion a little bit later on, so I can ask you one question about one of the companions and ask you one question about one of the quests.
All right, well, how about this? At the very end, after we say our goodbyes, let's have a quicker spoiler section for the real fans
who want to stay
on and hear all the goss.
Yeah, because
that
it is definitely...
have plenty of warning, you know what I mean?
Exactly, because it definitely is spoilery, because we can totally appreciate that the game's only been out for a day, but it's that much fun, and it's got that much to actually make you think about your actions, that you know, I want to fucking talk about this one.
Yeah, 100%. Look, there's plenty to talk about without spoiling stuff anyway. Yeah. All the systems in the game. I've found, as I said before, the shooting, I think it's passable, but it's definitely better than Fallout. Even the way your character moves, in Fallout, the way you get around the world is so bloody slow, but they've given your character a bit more of a... They feel a bit lighter than what you do in Fallout.
Are we talking about Fallout 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the point of comparison. I don't know. I'd say, for me, it feels more like Fallout 3 in mechanics and movement in all respects, with a few little, you know, a few quality of life adjustments, but it still feels very much older version. Fallout 4 felt smoother to me.
I think what's happening here is we're having the whole PC console mishap again. Okay. Like the same thing with Borderlands, you know, you didn't notice the difference in the gunplay because you're playing on a mouse and keyboard anyway.
So yeah, yeah.
I don't know what your experience would be like, but for me personally, having played all the Fallout games and on console, this definitely, the way a character moves feels a lot better than what it does in Fallout 4 and Fallout 3 even more. Fallout 3 was, I found, was particularly clunky and slow.
Yeah. And so. Well, and on that, so it's funny. I'll talk about Borderlands 3 now as a positive and something that they really fucking nailed. And that was the mechanics around moving and gunplay and just vaulting over things.
It felt so, so good.
Yeah, and I found myself playing. Yeah, and I found myself playing this and missing the sliding and missing the vaulting on things.
Oh man, there's so many times I've wanted to slide.
Exactly. Yeah, because I crouch a lot in my movements and I like doing the crouch sneak attack because I'm a sneaky fucker. And I loved the whole sliding action, and I really like it was a noticeably missing element of this game where it very much is a throwback to the older gameplay mechanics of about 10 years ago. Mm. And that's one of the key evolutions that were a really good thing that was a bit disappointing to sort of go back to. Obviously, it's not a game breaker and it doesn't fuck the game for me. It's one of those things where you just think to yourself, man, it would just be a little bit better if they just fucking included it.
Yeah, like anything, you're going to have your little qualms here and there.
100%. Yeah.
They definitely could have put some sliding in. The gunplay could have definitely been smoother. But I think the real care went into the world and the world building and the characters and all the storylines.
Oh, absolutely.
That's where the real gold lies.
Yeah, this game.
The worlds are. Yeah, that's another thing to rave about. The worlds. I've only been to two so far, but both of them I've loved exploring. I've found interesting things to find if I've looked around, and there's story everywhere. Every corner you look, there's an NPC with something to say. It's great. Yeah, it really is fantastic.
Yeah, and actually, I don't know, we won't talk about this. We won't go into depths about this, but did you, Zach, did you find something really fucked up in the first world that they don't even talk about? It's just there. And it's just in the scene, and it's just in the place it is. You can pull all the pieces together and realize what's going on, and you just go, wow, that's really fucked up, and it's awesome that they had that.
I can't think right now what you're talking about, but when we get into spoilers,
I'll talk about it,
because whatever it is, I'm dying to know now.
But it's just an example of those clever little things that basically a game where there was clearly some intelligent mind behind it with a story to tell and a world to create was going on there. It wasn't just a sandbox for you to experience the gun mechanics. It is a world with intelligence.
Totally, totally. And all the side quest matters. That was one of my problems with Fallout 4 was there were some side quests that were just straight up randomly generated side quests and you could do them infinitely. And I was like, "Why? Who benefits from this, having this in the game? This isn't fun. No one wants to do the same quest over and over again and not have any end to it. It's just not fun." And it took me a little while to realize that's what was happening. And after like the fourth or fifth time doing these garbage quests, I was like, "This is just garbage and I'm not going to do it anymore." Mm. Fallout was, kind of disappointing, but oh god, this really makes up for it having Outer Worlds. It's like Obsidian have said to us, "We hear you.
Yeah,
we know what's going on right now, and we're going to fill that Bethesda hole that's in your heart, and we're going to make fuck tons of money when we do it." Man, Microsoft have just made such a good move by buying them.
Yeah, oh, they bought them at the right time. Fuck.
Definitely. Fuck. And I'm pissed now because whatever fucking exclusive they put out, I'm going to want to play. And I'm not going to be able to because it's going to be on fucking Xbox only. And you're going to be able to play it on PC because everything's on the Microsoft Store as well. And I'm going to sit here like a pleb and not get to, enjoy it.
It's all well and good to get excited about that. And yeah, Microsoft has acquired Obsidian, which means theoretically they'll have a lot more funding and polish behind the budget of their next title. But you have to remember, Microsoft has bought out beloved companies before and they fucked them right into the ground.
Yep.
They fucking killed my most favorite cherished company from childhood, Rareware. You know, and like, that's what they fucking do. They buy something and then they force them to do a title that the company doesn't really, the actual game studio, you clearly doesn't have any sort of creative interest in doing. They force them to do that title, then they force them to release the game before it's finished. I'm talking about Pirates, that pirate fucking game, Seaman and Thieves or something. Yeah, Sea of Thieves.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, no, I just like calling it Seaman and Thieves because it's just fucking ejaculate. It's bullshit. And you can see that they've clearly done that because Rareware is not the type of studio to release game titles like that without being forced to. They at least, you know, several decades ago, they actually cared about the shit that they produce. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what Microsoft might be able to do with it. Maybe Microsoft will be able to turn their shit around for once, and that'll be awesome because this is the right time to do it. With Bethesda, you know, not giving us what we need, Obsidian is really fucking scratching that itch for us single-player RPG gamers.
Oh, yeah. Well, Fallout 4 came out in 2015, so it's been 4 years since we've had a proper Bethesda RPG, so we were definitely due for it.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's... Oh, gosh.
Yeah, no one liked Fallout 4, so... You know, let's just fucking ignore that and say the good one, last good one was Skyrim.
Yeah, which was in 2011.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, a couple of years away from 10 years now. So, yeah.
So that's why everyone in their 20s to 30s, you know, if you see them working their job or whatever, that's why they look so miserable because their inner soul is being malnourished just not having more Skyrim.
Yeah, we need Bethesda now more than ever.
Yeah.
We need those games. Yeah, lucky Obsidian is coming to the table, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, look, we'll have to see what happens with Obsidian and Microsoft. It's one of those things, you know. Microsoft have been making good moves lately, so hopefully they've figured their shit out and they're going to do the right thing by these companies and we'll get some good games out of them. But I'm not going to make any predictions here. I've no idea what's going to happen and it remains to be seen. But if they can keep cranking out games like Outer Worlds... then they're going to be fine. They're going to do very well.
Yeah, their console might actually be able to survive in the new market.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you fucking look at reviews, I mean, I look at Metacritic reviews all the time. If you look at reviews for a game title that's been released on both consoles and PCs, the PlayStation always has more users commenting and giving opinions regardless of what
there is a lot more PlayStation people, to be fair, though.
But that's the whole point. There's more PlayStation people because it's a better console. It won this generation like absolutely thoroughly.
Destroyed it. Yeah.
With PS3 and Xbox 360 sort of generation, there was a little bit more balance. I think PS3 still won out because it had the Blu-ray.
It did in the end, yeah.
Yeah, it had the Blu-ray, so it had a lot more but
at the start, it wasn't looking that way.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Microsoft's own incompetence that they end up losing generation.
That little gem is why I'm always nervous about Microsoft, because if you look at their history, they just keep fucking things up. Like, they've been very bad for a very long time. We can only hope that they've finally sorted their shit out.
Yeah.
But I'm not holding my breath because I've just been let down too many times. They really fucked up Banjo-Kazooie with that fucking car racing bullshit.
Nuts and bolts.
Fucking platformer game and then they do fucking car racing.
You didn't like the car racing, man?
It's a platformer game.
I never played it, but...
But like the game was a platformer game. That's what people expected out of it, and they just completely changed the genre, and they even tried to be meta about it and shit on their consumers by having like the characters comment on, oh, it's not just another platform game. Fuck off. That's what we wanted. Fuck you. Fuck you. And that's why you failed.
That's like, I don't know if you remember, but on PS2, they had all the Jack games, like Jack and Daxter, and then Jack 2, Jack 3. But then they brought out Jack X, which was a racing game. And I only ever played it once. Yeah. And I was like, why? Why does this exist? Like,
I mean,
people like Jack not just for the driving. They like it for the story and the interesting gameplay. not this, yeah, this just, yeah, it made no sense. I guess they were just going the CTR route, you know?
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I was going
to
say.
They just wanted to do
the
exact same thing they'd done last time, but it worked with CTR because, you know, back then the console and platform mascots was more of a thing, whereas it wasn't as much when it came to PS2.
Nah, man, the reason why it worked with CTR is because it was just a complete carbon copy of Mario Kart,
yeah,
which was not available on that brand
true.
Of consoles.
Yeah, true. They should have just copied Mario Kart again. I don't know.
Well, that's happened. What they did, and that's why it was going... But
well, Jack X, I didn't play it enough to know, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised considering CTR. Yeah, definitely.
You can only copy Mario Kart so many times. It was just proof that at that point in time, there was a limit on how many times you could recreate Mario Kart.
Yeah.
It looks like there can only be one Mario Kart per console brand. And CTR got it. They got in first, and that was the end of it.
Well, apparently there's a type of game out there that there cannot only be one of, because now Obsidian have obviously brought out Outer Worlds, so there's another Bethesda-style game out there. Let's bring it back to Outer Worlds again.
Yeah.
What did you think? That was a real roundabout way to do that. But anyway, what did you think of the voice acting in Outer Worlds and the sound? I personally loved it. I thought the music and the atmosphere, the tone, it set was great, and all the voice acting so far. The facial animations are a little bit not the greatest, but that's sort of to be expected, I guess, from this style of game.
I am glad that you...
But yeah, the voice acting on point, it really is.
Okay, yeah. I totally agree with all of those points, and I'm really glad that you picked up on the facial animations too, because I was going to ask you the same question where I'm like, is it just me, or does everyone look like their fucking eyebrows can't move?
They've all had a severe amount of Botox and...
That's exactly what I thought as well, because I've seen people have done bow. I've fucking done bow before. Don't at me. It works. It's good. It keeps you looking hot and young forever. It's great. But the downside of bow is that you literally can't use your eyebrow muscles.
That you're calling Botox bow. Is that like what the pros call it? The pros call it bow.
I don't know. I call it bow. I don't know what the pros call it, but
it sounds like someone you're dating rather than like something you're injecting
into your face. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, bow, B-A-U, the French. Yeah, you're right. No, I just call it bow because I'm fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just fucking, you know, we're in Australia. We're short in everything. We're short in every fucking word.
I just thought it sounded funny. That's all. Yeah, just, yeah.
If it were more...
Yeah, I do completely agree. They definitely look like they've had way too much Botox in this game. But
totally agree.
I think the dialogue is just so good.
Mm.
And I've really enjoyed all the responses and whatnot as well. I've always found there was something I could pick out of the list of choices that I was interested in saying. And and you can see I'd love to play through this game again, because you can see all the other ways that you can take things and different ways that you can approach things, which would be really cool as well too. So
definitely. Going back to the voice acting, I agree fully. I think the companions are pretty fleshed out.
I love the companions.
They have really good voice actors. The first companion that you meet is extremely good. Like just... writing-wise and just in terms of delivery and personality, just so fucking charming and personable. And there's a lot of meat to that character as you learn, you know, as you unfold. It gets a bit fucking wacky. There's a moment later on in the game where something happens and it's just very rapid and it feels like a big change to the character, which like
careful, because I'm not doing any spoilers,
but you will
even when I know something's coming.
It's a good game. You're meant to know something's coming.
No.
That's not spoiling. Fuck off.
I'm way too triggered by spoilers.
Yeah, it's a clever. I'm not talking about a twist or anything. I'm just talking about characterization and development. Yeah. Something characterizes and you learn things about the characters as they unfold. And there's one thing where just something happens really quickly and you go like, it's good, but it just happens so fast where you're like, we'll talk about I won't talk about that in this podcast, but we might talk about it in a later podcast if you agree with me after playing the game a little bit more.
Oh no 100%. I think we'll get into some light spoilers at the end of this anyway.
We're not going to talk about this one. We'll talk about this one later.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, for now, look, I'm not going to give it a rating yet because I haven't finished it yet. It's up to you if you want to or not. But as far as should you buy it, I would if you're looking for a meaty RPG to jump into, then I would certainly recommend Outer Worlds. I've had a fantastic time so far. If you miss the old Bethesda-style games and you haven't had your Bethesda itch scratched, then definitely give it a crack, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm gonna build on that and say, I mean, I've sunk 10 hours in so far, so and I don't even feel like I've scratched the surface. I don't think I've covered 10% of this game yet.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
And so, you know, it might get shit as it goes along. It might get, you know, lesser or worse, but definitely so far, it really puts 2019 into perspective, because we've had just had really mediocre games. We haven't had too many games released across the board, and the ones that have been so mediocre that as soon as a good game like this comes along, you realize, oh, fuck, this is the feeling that I've been waiting for the entire fucking
games
year.
Games can be good.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I play this game and I feel like I'm playing a good game, and I can't say that I haven't had this feeling for a year now.
Yeah, totally.
And I've only just fucking realized that.
Yeah, totally. I think the only game I've really enjoyed this year that came out this year has been Control. But Control, like, I wasn't thinking about Control when I wasn't playing it, you know what I mean? For some reason, it didn't really grab me. I don't know why. This is the first game this year that has just grabbed my attention completely, and all I want to do is play it. I can't wait to be finished with this bloody podcast so I can play it some more.
Exactly. So I think that's sort of telling where you know, I don't even need to give it a fucking review other than it's better than anything else that 2019 has had to offer so far.
It's been an abysmal year. Everyone's ramping up for 2020 with the release of the next gen console. So it hasn't been the greatest.
Yeah. At this stage, no formal reviews other than, you know, 10 hours in at least so far. This is definitely a game that is well worth its money as a fully priced AAA title. It's one of the few games that exists in recent times that I can say that about. Borderlands 3, you know, being the comparison point because it's come out this year as well, is a fine game.
I totally forgot. Sorry. I should clarify. Yeah, no, actually, I completely forgot about Borderlands 3 just then. Borderlands 3 I was definitely excited for and definitely took my entire attention when it came out. Oh. But I've got the typical millennial brain and I forgot that it existed because it's already been a month since it came out.
Yeah, but I mean... If I recall correctly, if you were to compare these two, because Borderlands 3 is fine. Yeah. It's a fine game. It's an okay game. It's good. It's not great.
I agree. Whereas I think this is catching me in the story, which there's been no other game that the story's really caught me that much on comparatively to this, which is good. It starts to feel like narrative in games is dead, you know, like God of War came out last year and that was fantastic and we had Red Dead Redemption 2. But then a year like this, the stories, like, God, Ghost Recon, Blandpoint, just really utterly trash stories. But it's good to see that some developers out there are still putting out some good shit. So, no rating this week, but when we have that out of the road, we'll definitely have some ratings for you. So, do you have anything left that you want to say on Outer Worlds?
I think it's a great game so far. I've already gotten 10 hours worth out of it, and I don't feel like I'm slowing down at all. A couple of slightly negative points on it is that the gameplay mechanics definitely are dated. It feels like the game was made 10 years ago, but with slightly more modern graphics. The graphics are fine, but you're not playing this game for the graphics. You're not going to get mind-blowing graphics. Like, my PC is about 7 years old, and I was playing everything on ultra settings, no issues. And that says to me everything about, you know, the amount of... Yeah. You know, it's not next-gen graphics. So, like, this is just a game that's really fun to play. It has good polish and is just very smartly done. It's going to scratch that itch if you're an RPG player.
Yeah, I'd say for me personally, I thought it looked better than Fallout 4, but yeah, it's still comparatively to other games that are out. But I guess with the scope of the game, that's probably why you can't exactly have that amazing graphical detail.
Yeah,
with such a and then again, saying that Red Dead Redemption 2 did it, that world was ridiculously massive and it was ridiculously detailed. So. Look, I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, now that we've seen Red Dead Redemption 2, the world knows what games can theoretically become. So that's why, we all know Red Dead RDR2 has set the benchmark for games. It is definitely not meeting that, but it is, you know, it is definitely, let's say probably No Man's Sky equivalent quality in graphics.
Okay, yeah. So I'd say at the moment, this is probably my top pick for game of the year, but I've only, you know, done 6 to 8 hours, so we'll have to see how we go, yeah, further on down the track. But anyway, yeah, I think that's all I have left to say on Outer World. Yeah, let's, time to say goodbye, I guess. It's time for the podcast to be over so I can go and play some fucking Outer World. Yeah. So, yeah, thanks everyone for listening. This has been News to Reviews. If you want to send us some feedback, you can either like us on Facebook and send us a message through Facebook. It's just News to Reviews on Facebook, or you can send us an email at newstoreviewspodcast@gmail.com. Anything you want to say to all our lovely listeners?
Oh, I'd like to say thank you for bearing with us. I know last week we didn't release any audio.
Oh, shit.
Which was a big one.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I should address that. Sorry about there not being an episode last week. We had some very frustrating technical difficulties, and there was no way to salvage what we had there, so there was no way I could put out an episode, but... Now, I think we've got shit figured out. I'm not promising there isn't going to be more difficulties in the future, because there was no way to foresee the crap that happened. But hopefully, now that I've got this sorted out, we should be able to keep on the regular Monday scheduled release and come out with these weekly. So, yeah, sorry about that, guys. No episode last week, but things should be good going forward.
Oh, theoretically, we can only hope that our amazing Apple tech doesn't fail us. I need to play Outer Worlds, and I need to eat, and I need to... bathe myself, because I have terrible hygiene at the moment. So thanks everyone for listening, and if you do get Outer Worlds, it's a bit of a journey sort of game, because it's a big meaty game. It's going to be, you just know this game's going to be 30 plus hours, so you know we're about to go on a journey together if you do pick it up.
Thanks again everyone for listening, and take care of yourselves and take care of one another. Spoiler section, you exactly. Have been warned.
Spoilers.
All right. Yeah. So what did you want to tell me? It's fucking pissing me off.
All right. Okay, so there are two things that I wanted to... Actually, three things.
Shit, there's a laundry list of things.
I'll save the third thing for later. Because
be careful, because I don't want you to spoil that thing that you were talking about.
Exactly, that's okay. Number three, and I'll save that for next week. Because I don't want to ruin the fun surprises, because the game has good writing in it, and the characters... Like, definitely explore their dialogues and their side quests, because they're worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I do want to hear your take on it.
So what was the thing that you said that you noticed that was fucked up in that first world? Because I'm trying to think of what it was, and I can't think of it.
All right, so in Edgewater, in the cannery.
Edgewater's the first town you come to, for people who don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So in Edgewater in the cannery, one of the first really obvious things you'll notice about Edgewater is that it's a cannery that produces a type of food called sole tuna. It's got a picture of a tuna fish everywhere. So the implication is that, it's a really bland but functional food that everyone's eating, and that's their staple. And this is a cannery that produces that staple. If you notice around the town, the first thing is that it starts saying now with enhanced flavor. It's pretty funny. Now we've enhanced artificial flavoring, and it's proud of the fact that it's artificial and nothing's natural.
Yeah, wow.
But that's just a by the by. When you go into the cannery, there's a section where you can see the assembly line and the cans being produced, and it's got two valves before the final product is produced, and so basically two versions of the product are going in here, combining it through their mechanisms, and you're getting your sole tuna. Yeah. This sole tuna, if you go to the upper level, you can see that one of the valves are all has a massive pile of scrats. And, do you know the scrats?
Yeah, the space rats, yeah.
Exactly, so it's space rats equivalent. And that's obviously the enhanced flavor, is that they're now adding rats to the fucking, thing.
Okay, yeah. No, I completely missed that. Actually, I didn't do much exploring around the cannery because it's a town, you can't steal stuff. I don't like, I don't like to steal just because, you know, that's just the way I play characters in the RPGs.
Steal everything. Everything that's not nailed down.
So, yeah.
No, I always go thief class. I love thief class.
I just didn't do enough sneaking around. But also, did you notice the lady selling the Spratwurst then when you got to Groundbreaker?
I did, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. So, God. See, the world, they've thought about things so much. So many things connect that you wouldn't even know. As I said, I didn't know that, but yeah, like apparently a lot of people are eating sprats in that game and they just don't even realize it's a really cool idea.
Yeah, and in that particular section of the world, everyone you talk to, if you go to the old lady in the other camp, and we are in spoiler territory that we can talk about this.
Oh, yeah, that's what you want. Yeah.
She's talking about how... Actually, no, it wasn't her. It was the guy. It was the engineer that you find in the last section where you have to do the power thing. We have to reroute the power.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the inside the power plant.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the crazy one that you find deep down that got trapped in there due to the robot mechs going crazy and terminating Terminator style, you know, turning on everyone.
He
survived on eating scrats, and he was indicating that that's like a horrible thing, and people in that world don't eat scrats, but like he's learned that they're really tasty and they're awesome. And obviously the people in the normal world in the cannery are being tricked into eating this thing that they would be disgusted if they found out the truth.
Yeah.
But the truth is that it does taste good. And so they're all being tricked into like what is, you know, it's so morally gray that they're being tricked into it and they would be disgusted by it, but they do like the flavor. So it is doing good in their world. Like, I love that. Yeah, it's so fucking clever.
They've really put the thought into this and it shows. It's so refreshing to play a game where you can tell they've really put a lot of love and care into every single aspect. The world building in games is so important. It makes such a big difference. That's why Red Dead Redemption 2 was like one of my favorite games of last year, because they built that world impeccably. It was just all the characters had their own motivations and they're all voice acted to absolute perfection and look, it's not the same level of detail and graphic fidelity as what Red Dead 2 has in this, but I don't think it's trying to be that. I think it's just trying to tell a good RPG story, and it does that very, very well. I think
big points for me for world building. All right, then I have a question for you because you're in the next section. Did you save Edgewater or did you save Hippie Lady? Hippie Lady
Colony. I'm going to just reference my previous mentions of corporations and then let you come up to your own conclusion of what I did there.
You saved Hippie Lady.
Oh, yeah. Fuck the corporations. Peace, man.
Yeah, and I did too, but I didn't feel good about it because your companion... Yes! Reminds you that everyone that she grew up with and cares about, half of them are just going to die because they won't be able to deal with that change of life.
Yeah.
And the other half may go to the colonies or they may ruin their lives and be marauders. It's not going to be...
Yep.
You're mostly killing a lot of people that she cares about.
Yeah.
And you feel like dog shit.
Oh, I fucking love that. I was so adamant on what I was going to do until the moment that she stops you and talks to you. And then I was like, fuck. I know I want to do this, but I don't want to piss this chick off. Like, she's such an interesting character. I want her to like me. it's fantastic.
Well,
it's
for whatever reason, she still does after. I thought you were going
to
lose.
Yeah, she didn't really care much, to be honest.
I know. I was surprised by that as well.
Look, it could be more like The Witcher 3 where they really make you pay for every choice that you make. And we'll see how it turns out in the end if the choices really matter and whatnot.
Maybe, but it felt like she sort of got over it pretty quickly. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
Because I
love it gives you that conflict, though. Like, love it when you have to think about a choice in a game.
Yeah.
If you have to sit there and think about it, you know that the game's literally got you thinking. You know?
Yeah.
It's great.
And I came to the same conclusion as well, because, you know, you want to free them from this corporate machine hell that they're in, but... freeing them actually does mean like signing the death warrant on a lot of them. But you know what?
So you went with the Hippie Lady as well.
I went with Hippie Lady as well. Although I did sort of, I was looking around in that convent because there was something mysterious, and I don't know if someone else knows more about this, but a couple of people mentioned that the compost, they had no idea how she was able to grow the plants that she was growing, and no one before her was able to terraform that area properly. And she was saying it was all about the compost. So I was trying to figure out, is she like putting like dead people in the compost or something, and that's what's making the ground fertile? So there's a little bit more, you know, a little bit more moral ambiguity to everything to contextualize, you know, but I couldn't find the answer to that. And I thought that's what they were sort of hinting at. And that's, if I were in that sort of world and situation, that's probably what you'd do. If someone died, you'd want to make use of their corpse to at least nourish the earth and sort of properly.
Yeah, well, it's the Wild West in this game, really, isn't
Yeah,
it?
Like, so
it's every man for himself.
Exactly. So, like, I couldn't find a confirmation to that answer. I'm sure there was something there that I was missing in the world, but I feel like there had to be a little bit more moral complexity to going with Hippie Lady. But, like, you just couldn't let the people live on in the fucking Edgewater if you're a good person.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. What? Fuck the corporations. Like, yeah, I think I did them good in the end, you know. Hopefully they find their way. Hopefully most of them go over to the old hippie lady and end up being in a compost.
They were rounding people up in the sick house and just letting them die in their beds. It was fucking grim.
Yeah.
You go in there.
No, not only giving medicine to people who proved their worth and stuff. It was a true George Orwell nightmare. 100%.
It's crazy. Love it. And when the power shut off, they sealed off the sick house. So they sealed all the sick in the sick house, and they were all. They all died.
Oh, shit, I completely missed that.
So, yeah.
And that's what I love. There's like all this, there's stuff going on in the world
and that's
that
your
you can
fault.
Completely miss. I don't know if you
that's
you
your fault,
when
by
I
the
went
way.
To Groundbreaker, when I got there, there was a NPC, a couple of NPCs yelling at the board guards that were there.
Yeah.
And they're having this exchange. And then when the NPCs walk away, the board guard's like, God, I'm tired of this duty.
Yeah.
I wish they'd move me somewhere else. And I was like, that's awesome. And I could have totally missed that and not noticed at all. But it just really gave you a good idea of the tone and how people feel about the board in this area.
I could talk about this game all day.
I love it about a thousand times.
I could talk about this game all day. It really fucking got me. Yep. It scratched that itch of making you feel like you're in a real world. And no decision you make will be the right one for everyone.
Exactly,
And you have to think about it. You have to really think morally, well, yeah, people are going to die as a result of this decision, but people are living in a nightmare already, and this at least allows some people the opportunity to, like, live possibly a good life. But then you ask yourself, what's a good life? These people are happy. You know, some people, you know, you have your companion to show that they're real people with real thoughts and feelings.
Mm.
You know, so maybe you're better off letting these people live even though they're basically slaves. Yeah, it's fucked and it's great and I love it.
I love that the philosophical sort of questions that it brings up. It's so cool. All right, well, look, I think that's a good place to leave it there. I've said all I want to say. Is there anything else you had to say?
That's it. Spoiler-free section done. Thanks, everyone, for staying around as long as you did. And sorry if you skipped to the very end at the very beginning. Maybe we'll put in a spoilers alert at the beginning of the tape just in case and just
say,
hey,
guys, by the
way. Yeah, the spoilers
alert is me fucking saying spoilers, okay?
Yeah,
you were warned.
Yeah, let's warn the people at the beginning as well.
Put them in the notes or something.
Try and give them every fucking opportunity. Because, I mean, who listens to a podcast and then just skips to the very end?
Yeah, no one does that, so I don't think it's necessary to do that.
Yeah, you're right.
We're all good. But
you're right. Fuck out.
Anyway, there you go, you guys. You get to see a bit more of how the sausage gets made. This is the behind the scenes on podcasting.
Oh, so much sausage.
All right, now that's a good place to leave it. Thanks, everyone. Take it easy.
Bye.